Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And this is Max Rushton.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Now, with slight trepidation, we spoke to the world's dullest man, who happened to be anything but, as you discover. He's gone into the football jigsaw business. He was great, wasn't he, Max?
He was absolutely tremendous.
Yeah, Kevin Barrows.
What worryingly means the space is open for who is the world's dullest man.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying the things that I brought to the table today put me in that category, but it's possible.
There's a chance to judge in the next 40 minutes or so. We also spoke to Paul Bowen from the Belfast band The Star Jets, who've written a new song, an ode to one of the greats of world football, and we enjoyed chatting to him. Plus, we talked about all sorts of things, as you'll discover, including DIY. Anyway, here it all is.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Max.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Just talking about Ødegaard there, and I want to find out what you thought of the Spurs game. But before hearing Jim saying, you know, I've heard that Mikel Arteta rates Ødegaard so high that he's contacted him personally.
Wow.
Sure, and that happens a lot, doesn't it? They say this manager liked this player that he contacted him personally.
Yeah.
Surely that's the least you would do. You know, like somebody wants to sign you, surely you would ring them up.
You need permission, don't you? Well, in this country, you don't know where else. But only here do we have this gentleman's agreement of tapping up. They just laugh at us around the continent.
Yeah.
Just phone and do what they like. But here, you do need some kind of, you know, you need a word from the selling club.
Yeah, I understand that. But surely once that's happened,
yeah,
you'd think it happens with every single transfer. How many transfers happen where the manager just wanders in and says,
Who are you?
I wanted you, but I didn't want you so much that I thought I'd ring you or text you.
Yeah.
I kind of was interested, but not really. Every player who hasn't got a phone call from the manager will now know that they weren't contacted personally. And so they're not really wanted. That was a strange
phrase. When I worked at Chelsea, Ed De Hoy, when he joined the club, he turned up one day, obviously, to have a meeting with a hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they'd been delayed at lunch. So he sat in reception. I went downstairs. I went out to get a sandwich.
Yeah.
And he was sitting there. So sort of nodded. And when I came back 20 minutes later, he was still sitting there.
I mean, did you know it was Ed De Hoy? Because he could
Well, I knew the club was signing
him.
I see. And I think he'd signed by then. Okay. He'd come in for a meeting.
Because he didn't look like a classic professional footballer.
He didn't.
I mean, he could have come to do a bit of work.
He could have been a spark, couldn't he? He could have said, or somebody. He could easily have said, hey, I'll go and get my rods.
Exactly.
But so I sat in reception and had a chat with him for a while. Felt a bit sorry for
him. Was he in his tracksuit trousers?
No, he was quite a nice fella. I think he was, I think he was. I think he was casually attired. Yeah, I don't see him in a suit, Ed.
No, that look.
But now and again, you know, there's not a red carpet laid out for every player that turns up. Maybe it keeps him on their toes.
Poor old Ed De Hoy didn't get a personal call. Who was the gaffer at that? Who was the gaffer at that time?
That would have been Ruud Gullit.
Ruud Gullit.
Yeah.
I think Ed De Hoy.
To be honest, no. I think you're making too much of it. He'd come in to see the MD or the old man, the chairman, of course, Mr. Bates. So he'd come in for something in the office because everything else was done down at the training ground. But for whatever reason, he'd come in. They forgot he was coming in. But look, it happens.
Poor old Ed De Hoy, he's still there. He's still there. Lampard's gone, and Ed De Hoy's just still sat in
reception. Imagine him saying, yes, he said, he'll be in one of these, he'll be on a show with you one day on Sky, Max, and he'll say something like, first time I went to Chelsea, and there was nobody to meet. There's just some boring bloke just sat there for 20 minutes talking about holidays in Amsterdam that I had no interest in. But anyway, we want to get the listeners going on a couple of things, don't we?
We do.
Should we do that?
Yeah, why not?
The first thing was, it was odd conversations that happen in the world of sport. It can be anywhere, but certainly the world of sport will kick us off. Are you aware of Dick Weller, the Sri Lankan wicket keeper?
Yeah, he's great, isn't he?
Some clips emerged the other day. You know, most of the chatters we've seen with Tim Payne and other Aussies of the past is normally fairly abusive and unpleasant, and even our own boys, Josh Butler, now and again can get stuck in. But Dick Weller just likes a chat. Yeah. He's like your nan at the bus stop.
I'm 32, don't you know?
It's loosely cricket related, but I think it's really clever, because there's anything more off-putting. You're just about to take your guard, you've come out, you're asking for middle and leg, and then the wicketkeeper's saying to you, I've just read. Have you ever read the latest John Grissom or something like? You know, what he said was he was talking to Joe Root about his bat, and he said, "Is that quite a heavy bat?" And he said, "Yeah, I like a heavy bat." He said, "Oh," and there's a pause, really, and just about. You haven't got a spare one, have you? It's like he wants to borrow one or take one so he can leave it with him in Gaul so he can maybe play with it next time.
I much prefer that style of sledging than I hate you. You haven't got any mates. What was Tim Payne's? You've got no friends.
That's right.
It's a level above that.
Wilston Raider. The comedian once told me the toughest heckle we had to deal with was a positive heckle. Bloke just sat there and meant it and said, like a mate would said, "That's a nice jacket."
Yeah, where do you go from there?
You can say cheers, mate, and hope it gets a laugh. But after he's done it a couple of times, you had nowhere to go with a positive heckle.
And you can't ask for that person to be escorted out. This person's being too nice to me.
That's right. Bloke said, "I got a nice jacket," throw him out. But anyway, unusual conversations on the field of play. What's the other one he did? He's done a few, Dick Weller. He's fantastic, but I think he's getting inside their heads by having inane conversations.
I put this out on Twitter. Mm. Johnny says, "I found out Saddam Hussein had been caught halfway through the second half of a Sunday league game from the guy I was marking." It's sort of a news information service, isn't it? CD saying, "Schoolboy cricket, I was bowling and fielding at square leg. Umpire was my A-level history teacher. And when bowling, he was silent, but whilst fielding, he quizzed me on the Napoleonic Wars in between balls." Those would be those coming. Sort of surreal, polite conversations.
Yeah, surreal,
you've had
odd conversations you found yourself in. The other one he was doing was to Crawley, and he was saying to me, "Are you going to be opening in India?" I mean, I don't know if he was having a pop at him or he just was interested.
Sibley, wasn't he?
And he said he'd be opening, and he said, "I don't know, I've not played very well, have I?" So, but it's good. I think he may have started a trend. Excuse me.
What did you think of Spurs last night? I'm obviously very pleased Spurs got through. I mean, I could spend the next 3 hours talking about Tanguy and Ndombele. The ball sticks to his foot like sensible soccer or like striker on the Amiga.
Yeah,
and they're. At some point, I'm sure in 10 years, there'll be a phone in going, "What's he ever won?"
Yeah.
You know, he's got...
One league cup.
Exactly.
God willing.
But he can... They all say, "Well, when you tell your granddads, show us your medals," he can talk to his grand... Not his granddads, his grandkids. Mm. But he can say, look, he can sit his grandkids down and say, the ball was just an extension of my body.
Yeah.
That, in many ways, means more to me than, I won the league cup. I was beaten on penalties by Manchester City in 2021.
Which is probably, if he gets the penalties.
He's such a joy,
isn't he? He is great to watch. And even when it wasn't going particularly well, you could still tell there was a player there. I don't know what was going wrong. But anyway, it seems to be going right now. But, it was nervy. 1-1, you just had that. Certainly when Akinfenwa came on and they were getting some joy, I just thought, they're going to nick this 2-1. It's going to be one of those games where Tottenham will rue their missed chances. Yeah. We rue a lot as a team. We've rued a lot over the years.
There was a lot of rue. It could have been a lot of rue, but they played very well. I thought Bale looked really sharp, and I was just impressed generally. I thought Spurs played really well. Maybe I'm just an optimist.
They didn't play badly. Yeah. I mean, I think they, I'm not sure 4-1 did flatter them, really, when you look at the amount of chances that they had earlier in the game. But certainly at 1-1 in the closing, I'm just glad to get through, I must say.
It's good good to be in the hat, even though the draw's already been
made. Do you want to know what the press were eating last night? Our old mate Jerry Cox.
Oh, yes, please.
He was covering the game, and he was at Wickham last night. And this is a nice little insight into what the press are given when they turn up at Adams Park. It was a picnic menu. It was roast chicken, rocket and herb mayo brioche roll.
Oh, nice.
Mixed bean tomato and basil salad pot. What a player he was. He was very early
basil
days.
Basil salad pot.
1902, he was the manager of Wickham, basil salad pot. Individual cake bar. Right. Cake bar. Yep. Okay. Fresh fruit was laid on for those that don't like cake bars.
Okay.
And a bottle of iPro water, not just any old water.
No, iPro water. After 90 minutes of sheer hell.
So there we are. Please dispose of your rubbish in the bins provided, which could have included Vinicius last night. He didn't have his best game. I mean, he's a young lad. He's fine.
Okay.
He's finding his feet.
Maybe we'll save it for a couple of hours' time, but I've got a very important DIY question.
Okay.
And I sometimes use the listener. It's sort of an abuse of power, but I use the listeners because I'm not great at it. And I've got a question. Can we save it for about 3 o'clock?
Okay.
When time?
But the DIY. What's it involve? Is it plumbing,
it
electrics?
It involves a screw.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's quite basic. But I have a screw-based question for just after 3. If
that's don't touch that dial.
Exactly, that'll keep them listening.
If you were thinking of popping out, well, clearly don't.
And also, I'm going to take the Basuma tequila song and take it to the next level as well.
Okay. It wasn't my song, it was Brian's song.
But I can take it even further. So, like, real reasons to keep listening.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm not sure I will based on that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, we were intrigued by this little clipping in yesterday's Sun. And it says, Aston Villa fan Kevin Beresford has created a 60-piece jigsaw based on a picture of star midfielder Jack Grealish's legs. So normally at this stage, this is a springboard to find out more about the story. But try as I might, I put into Google search in the news section, Jack Grealish's legs, Kevin Beresford.
Nothing. Wow.
That's,
so we need to bring this to a bigger
audience, don't we? We have got Kevin's backstory because Kevin, I think, has been voted dullest man in the world.
He describes himself as the dullest man in the world.
Wow. Yeah. Well, let's find out. I'm sure that's not the case. Yeah. Good afternoon, Kevin.
Good afternoon to you.
You sound quite upbeat to me. We've made a good start.
Yeah, it was an interesting good afternoon. So
let's deal with the specifics of this story as we talk sport.
Okay.
The Jack Grealish puzzle, 60-piece, just his legs. So how did this come about?
Calves, guys, calves.
Oh, just his calves, not legs. Yeah, the sun weren't that specific. Right.
Well, I don't know if you've seen Jack Grealish's calves, but aren't they magnificent?
Well,
aren't they just wonderful? They're the most recognisable calves in British football, I reckon.
Well, I'm going to pick you up straight away, Kevin, because I've been...
going to have a fallout.
I don't want to fall out. I don't want to start a phone. 08717.
Yeah.
Have you spent any time studying the calves of Shaqiri? Jordan Shaqiri's... I mean, if you want to make another
puzzle...
The calves
of Shaqiri, I think, was a great album.
It was a great Western. It was a Western, yeah. Jordan Shaqiri's calves give Jack Grealish a run for his money. But what is it about Jack's calves that you like so much?
Well, first of all, I'm an Aston Villa supporter, so I'm somewhat biased.
Yes.
But you can imagine on, I don't know, Question of Sport, Talk Sports, only Ali McCoist having no problem recognising a picture of just those calves and easily identifying their owner with the rolled-down cotton blue stockings, the little dinky shin pads providing no protection whatsoever to those two colossal calves.
I feel like we should be playing Je T'aime under this. We just fade that up, really. It needs the treatment.
No, I'm on board with this completely.
Yeah.
I agree.
Oh, well, I'm going to look a lot closer than I've done so far.
So if you just made one, I mean, is it just the one puzzle? Is it just for your own pleasure, or do you let other people
put
Jack Grealish's calf together?
No, it's up for sale, guys.
Oh,
I was thinking of upgrading the puzzle to 150 piece and including Jack's upper thighs, but
don't go any further.
When it gets to a 500 piece, we're in trouble.
Yeah,
that's right.
I think I've got to be careful.
Yeah. So why 60? I mean, really, if you want to, you could have done 1,000 piece, couldn't you? Just on the calves.
Well, I think to today's modern football supporters, they've got a shorter attention span.
They have, you know. There's that much live football.
You're right.
There's that much live football.
What's it currently retailing at? How much would it cost for me to get this puzzle?
Yeah, £15 worth every penny. It's a perfect lockdown gift, isn't it? Yeah. We've got all that much time on our hands.
Where's it for sale, Kevin? Where can we buy this?
You can find it on Etsy, Amazon, eBay, you know. I think the reason you couldn't find it, because you was looking at Jack Green. His legs.
Actually, I couldn't, honestly. I was transfixed by him.
So what do I type into Etsy? Jack Grealish's calves.
Yeah. What we got here? This is
the karaoke version of Je T'aime.
Oh, is it really? Oh, nice, yeah. I think we may have slightly missed the boat.
I see. The Wonderful World of Grealish's Calves, 60-piece jigsaw, $15.99.
Yeah. Is that plus P&P?
It is Bleep Poor Puzzles.
Ah. Oh, okay.
There we are.
Is it alliterative, the bleep?
It is, yes.
It might be, yeah.
98 shop reviews, 5 stars.
People like it. What are they saying? Just some of the things they're saying.
Chessy, very kind and also amusing seller. All items arrived 3 weeks earlier than expected.
Wow.
For reference, I'm in New York and the seller's in the UK. So nothing to do in New York now. And they're coming to buy a puzzle of Jack Grealish's.
It's a Villa fan pining.
Well, I'm very customer driven, aren't I, guys?
Yeah, I can see that, yeah.
It's tremendous.
Marvellous. You should take this into the den. It's fantastic. The calves of the stars. That would be brilliant, wouldn't it?
Well, other footballers' body parts, you mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, the thighs of Roberto Carlos.
Oh, well, that is a wonderful one. Which was
Peter Crouch's Adam's apple.
The eyes of Llorente. Fernando Llorente's eyes are quite piercing, aren't they?
These all sound they sound like Spanish art films, don't they, really?
They do. So, Kevin, also, you study roundabouts. Is this correct?
I do indeed, yeah.
Can you give me a bit more, furnish me with a bit more information on that?
There's nothing more expressive than the one-way gyratory. I've seen paintings, statues, trains, boats, planes, you name it. Anything can go on a roundabout. And I think it's that what makes them so special. They lift our sagging spirits on long, tiresome journeys. They're like an oasis on a sea of tarmac.
So would you, I mean, if you were the Prime Minister, would you put a few roundabouts on the M6, you know, just to make it more interesting?
Things up. Mm. Well, I think there are anyhow, aren't there? Yeah. As you exit.
Yeah. I know you've produced sort of calendars and various things on the subject of roundabouts. You've been a judge in the global roundabout of the year. You decided on the greatest roundabout in the world, I understand, is in Australia, Kevin. Is that right?
That's right. It's celebrating gay rights. It's a rainbow roundabout. It's quite unique, yeah?
Yeah.
I've never seen a rainbow roundabout, but they've got one there in Canberra, which is the roundabout capital of Australia.
It?
They've even got the Houses of Parliament on a roundabout in Australia. And in New Zealand, in Wellington, their national cricket ground is on a roundabout.
Wow. Have you been to Milton Keynes? Have you taken in any new town, really?
Milton Keynes is mainly, I don't know, quantity rather than quality. Yeah. Basingstoke is far better if you want to do it.
The game's gone with Milton Keynes, isn't it? Modern roundabouts.
I went to Stourbridge once, and I was quite taken by their roundabout there, actually. I don't know if that, where that fits in the local Stourbridge roundabout. Does it ring any bells?
I don't live far away from the Old Street roundabout. I don't want to. They're really messing with the traffic.
Yeah, that's
the traffic signals.
That was an ugly roundabout. It's got
magic
better.
Roundabout in Swindon where the traffic goes round the opposite way. It's the white knuckle ride of all roundabouts.
Oh, that's not a good idea. And also, car parks. You're a big fan of car parks.
Well,
I know
the president of the Car Park Appreciation Society. Tremendous. The only problem I got, I'm the only one in that society.
And the Get Carter car park. In Gateshead, I know that's a favourite of yours, isn't it? Iconic car park.
Do you remember that, do you?
Yeah, of course I do. Yeah. He meets Alf Roberts up there, doesn't he?
Say again?
He meets Alf Roberts up there from Corrie. Not his real name, of course, but that was the actor playing the part. But it's kind of pretty central to the whole thing, isn't it?
I think being a dull man, there's nothing wrong with being a dull man. It's sexy being dull now, but dull is the new black.
Oh, okay. Yeah, what about that?
Josh says Henrik Mkhitaryan's calves are right up there. Yeah. Should do a top five.
We're going to put together a whole calendar of calves with the TalkSport listeners. So when would you like Jack? Do you want him January or do you want him? You want a little bit of snow on him for Christmas?
December's always the most coveted page.
December. Jack's got calendar, December.
Kick off with Shaqiri.
Shaqiri
in
January. Yeah. We want some 10 more calves for and we'll pass them on to you, Kevin. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, Kevin.
My pleasure.
All the best. Britain's dullest man, my backside. No, he's sensational, wasn't he?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
You're telling us tales of sort of odd, unlikely conversations you've had mid-match. We were saying about Dick Weller, the Sri Lankan wicketkeeper, loves a quite obscure conversation with the batsmen out there, which seems to throw them. You know, it's not straight, but you can live with straight sledging, but when someone starts asking you odd sort of surreal questions, maybe it throws you a little bit. Same with the cricket. I went to England versus Sri Lanka, the test match, while Ireland and Germany was taking place in the World Cup 2006. Mark Butcher was fielding on the boundary and turned around to ask me what the score was as it had gone to penalties, says Gary. I've got a great exchange. Are you aware of the Willie Johnston exchange?
No, I'm all ears.
The Willie, they were on the whistle test in 1976. No, anyway, the Willie Johnston, the former Scotland and West Brom winger. Not apocryphal, because when Willie was on the show, we asked him about it when his book came out years later. The only thing it's slightly sketchy about is what was the item being sold. But he haggled with a fan at the corner flag and bought a greenhouse. Was it a greenhouse or was it a shed? We haven't quite nailed that down.
I mean, but how did he know someone was selling one?
I think some bloke in the crowd had shouted, "Here, Willie, you're trying to buy my greenhouse out of the local paper." So when he'd go and take a corner and he said, "You're asking too much for it," he'd take the corner, he'd come back and he said, "Well, I'll take an offer." So he took another corner. He said, "About 50. The bloke said, "No, 50's not on."
That's
so he went
brilliant.
Over for another corner and they settled on 40. And I think the bloke went to the dressing room afterwards and gave him the money.
Oh, well, that's tremendous. Nice, isn't it?
Sold a shed.
So was it the number of corners that they got would have dictated the price?
It would have.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It could have gone.
Now, you've made a terrible mistake here, Paul. Stourbridge, it's a ring road. Many people have been in touch.
It's a ring road.
Owen saying, "I'm from Stourbridge. It's actually Stourbridge Ring Road. A road that runs around the outskirts of the whole town."
Well, that's
integral part.
That is essentially a big roundabout. I think you'll find the ring road.
Let's get Kevin back on air.
I can't remember. I've only been to Stourbridge once, and this thing it stayed with me. And I the Wonder stuff were from Stourbridge, and I seem to think that's why they did Dizzy with Vic Reeves. But maybe not. Maybe I imagined it.
I was listening yesterday to the Basuma song.
Oh yeah,
Paul. Can we do this now? Are we ready to do?
Are we in Basuma?
Yes, we're in Basuma territory.
No, it's not my song. It's Brighton and Hove Albion fans apparently sing it. And it's an ode to their... He scored a wonderful goal in the Cup the other day, and he's a much-loved player. But it seemed to me to be an awful lot of build-up to not a great deal of song. So let me... This is apparently what the Brighton fans sing. Here we go. This is coming.
I can feel it.
Yeah. Any minute now. Here we go. Really?
Basuma!
So that's it.
Okay,
really?
So let me
a long build-up.
Yeah, let me take you to 2002. India are touring England. On TalkSport 2, by the way, full coverage of England's tour to India.
Thanks very much. You added that in.
So I went to the Oval. I think it was day... I can't remember what day. I mean day one with some friends. We were all dressed as Charlie Chaplin. It was we were sort of wacky in those days. Let's do fancy dress at the cricket. I mean, it was fun. But it was an absolute, it was a row. load, like no wickets. So yeah. I've looked at it. It was a draw. England 515. India got 508. England were 114 not out in the second innings, match drawn. Yeah. Vaughan and Triscothic, Vaughan got 195 in the first innings, Rahul Dravid got 217. So anyway, in terms of, we came up with songs for, we came up with a song for Michael Vaughan. And it's not unlike the Basuma one, you might see where it's going. But yeah, if you could play the theme, please, appreciate it. Do you know the tune?
I know the tune. I'm just trying to think where Michael Vaughan fits into this. Is it just going to be a surname?
Well, you never know.
Is it?
Hang on, hang on. Not
Vaughan.
Yet. No, not yet.
No, not that.
No, no, no. And I wanted the longer version.
Vaughan. No?
No, no.
Not that.
Coming.
Yeah.
Vaughan. We God. Thought we were the funniest. I don't think I've.
I would have thrown you out. I wish I'd had. I wish I'd had a fluorescent jacket on me.
And we did the long version as well.
Yeah.
And for Triscothic, we did it to D-I-S-C-O because we couldn't think of anything. So it's T-R-E-S-C-O, yeah. Thick. And it wasn't really fair because he's quite a bright guy. But
yeah.
That was the only song we could get. So you know, I knew you'd be disappointed when it reached its climax.
So if you see a lot of blokes of a certain age dressed as Charlie Chaplin, go and ask to sit somewhere else. Ask to sit somewhere else. Adrian Durham's been in touch.
Oh, hi,
what happened to him?
Yeah. He's got opinions, hasn't he, Ed?
Yeah, he said, yes, he's up before, of course. I was in the Brighton end when Spurs beat Brighton 1-0 early days of the new Spurs stadium. When they launched into the Basuma song, it was a riot. Bodies everywhere when the music was in full flow. And then the music stopped. And as one, we all stopped and shouted, Basuma!
Yeah.
Brilliant. He says, I do miss being at games. So yeah, I think we all
but
do.
But if you think about, you know, if you think about that grandstand theme with Vaughan, I know you haven't bought into it straight away, but if you're surrounded by everybody and it's getting better and better.
A lot of people look at you sort of.
I think people joined and like to think we had the whole of the oval.
I think if there's any existing film of that, I think you'd see a lot of.
Who's with? Come on, someone support me. I'm not getting a lot of support here.
Shaking their
Paul's
heads.
Paul's looking disappointed. It's one of those disappointed,
good.
Save it for the weekend faces. Corker says, when's Andy back? You know, fair point.
I'll bring you science news.
Oh, yes, good.
5-minute naps in the afternoon can improve your memory and keep the brain more agile. People who took regular afternoon naps appeared to speak more fluently and remember things better than those who did not break up the day with sleep, which is all useful things from a radio presenter's point of view, but not ideally between 1 and 4.
Well,
unless we did a sort of shift pattern. So I did maybe, I sort of the next ad break, I might have a couple of minutes. I can get, but I'm not, I can't do that. I'm not, I mean, Alan Brazil, I'd argue, is the only talk sport presenter because it may mainly to do with the hours that
he
keeps.
Do you reckon he did naps sort of on air?
I think if we look hard enough,
pick up yourself to the newsreader.
There will come a point where Ali says, what do you think, Alan? And you're here.
I was once.
It's happened to callers. So there's been some good calls over the years of people phoning, certainly the overnight show, something for Martin Kellner to look out for. And often they'd hang on the line for sort of half an hour at 4 o'clock in the morning before they came on. And they were asleep. Graham had a couple of corkers, if I remember rightly.
You'll remember when I hosted the election count from Fairfield Halls in Croydon for BBC London's local elections. And I think they threw to, I think the presenter was like, I was just reporting on the count from Croydon. And before me, they went, Jeremy Barnes is in one. And it just cut to quite fair because let's face it, an election count is not an interesting thing to broadcast. So it's happened to me.
I've got some bad news for Kevin Beresford. His crown has slipped. He's no longer the world's dullest man. They love him. Pete has been in touch.
Yes.
He said, "I'm a blue nose and I'm hooked. That's how good he was. Get him on every day." By the way, Stourbridge is a big ring road rather than a roundabout. Just effectively a big roundabout is all I'm saying. We could argue about this all day, but sadly don't have time. Through the night till grey dawn's peak, kisses your beautiful feet. Oh, Jordy Best, you were truly blessed. Through all the highs and lows on the field of dreams, you had the world at your That is Geordie Best by the Star Jets. They reconvened, I think, a year or so ago to make music once again. If you're from Belfast, you'll be aware of them. Joining us now from the band, Paul Bowen. Good afternoon, Paul.
Hello there. Hiya. Yeah. Nice. Thank you for inviting the least qualified person on planet Earth to talk about sport on your show. Good luck with this interview, mate. Good luck with this interview.
Well, look, I mean, we got.
What would you like to talk about?
The jump-off point, of course, will be the fact that you've written a song about George Best, who is obviously a sort of Belfast lad and a local hero. I mean, where did this come from? How did it all come about?
Well, George was a childhood hero. I mean, for straight off, a childhood hero. There was nothing like him in the 60s. I mean, he was the world's first sports superstar. He was the guy who started it all, transcended the sport and became a fashion icon, a society icon. He was the man who began the whole trend that still exists today. But he also suffered from his demons. Mm. And I followed him throughout his life, and towards the end of his life, it became more and more frustrating as the tabloids hounded him. Every time George appeared in the press, it was a story detrimental to him, critical of him. And I would say, for God's sake, George, can you not, you know, and you really felt frustrated for him and sorry for him. And the day he died, I cried like I'd lost a brother. I mean, it just all poured out of me. And I wrote the song itself within minutes of George's funeral cortege passing through the gates of Roselawn Cemetery in Belfast. For here was a footballer, this has never been done before, who received a state funeral. Mm. This was our JFK moment. This was our Princess Diana moment. And for an unelected official, someone who literally had his best days were behind him, a state funeral, I mean, it proper recognition for a true hero and an absolute beacon of an icon of sport whose legacy has transcended the decades. Yeah. So, yeah, that was me. I was in floods of tears. I wrote the song.
So you've kind of been sitting on the song for a while, had you? And what made you band got back together again a couple of years ago. Were you waiting for that moment?
No, I actually wrote a Celine Dion version. I'm really sorry for saying that. I'm talking sport radio. A Celine Dion version with the Irish pipes. It really sounded like it should have been on Titanic. In fact, the Irish piper playing on the track, played on the soundtrack of Titanic. That's him in the Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio, or whatever you call him, were up in the prow of the Titanic. So I've had that song, but it wasn't kind of radio friendly. It was more of an Irish folk song, a traditional Irish folk song. Mm. So I always wanted to do the Star Jets version of a rocky pop, punk pop. That's what we are. We're a hockey, poppy punk band from Belfast, or a punk pop band from Belfast. I don't know. I've never thought too much about
jazz,
it.
Jazz, rock jazz, what is it?
That's it. acid handbag, we're all...
You say you're the least qualified. You seem quite qualified to talk about this. I mean, as somebody who's too young to remember George Best, the player, I obviously seen footage of it, but if you could sort of describe what he was like as a player, describe sort of the impact that he had that was beyond football. But as a player, what was he like?
As a player, no one moved like him. He moved like Muhammad Ali. Hmm. He really did, move like, fly like a butterfly, sting like a bee, or whatever that fabulous phrase that Muhammad Ali came out with. And despite the fact that he was hacked down, especially in looking at the old footage of the European qualifiers in 68, he was hacked to pieces by the opposition teams. They wanted to take George out, and he got up like a rag doll and he just carried on. He never seemed to lose his temper. He had a, you know, placidity about him. He just played the game. And when you look at the footage, there are two characters that are always there present in George's legacy that really haven't received they have received credit, but they've never really been seen as the Holy Trinity of football of that era, and that is Bobby Charlton and Dennis Law.
Yeah.
The three of them together were just magical.
Yeah,
I mean, Bobby Charlton in midfield, deep midfield. I'm just going by the old footage. Mm. He was a lion. He owned the midfield.
Yeah. I saw those three play together a few times as a kid, and they were always box office. You'd have to get there like well before the gates opened if United were coming to White Hart Lane. Just finally, Paul, would you want to ask about the band? Because, so you've been going for a long time. I mean, you were seen, they call you
the very old, you know.
The Bay City Rollers of Ireland. You were a sort of pop band.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for that.
And then, but then you were kind of, you kind of moved towards sort of poppy, punky stuff, and you've toured with Stiff Little Finger. So it's been quite the career, but you did have a long layoff and then came back together a couple of years ago. So
well, I've never laid off myself. I've been, I mean, despite the fact that I know nothing about sport and have been following rugby all my life, I still know nothing about the game, but I ended up as resident musician at London Irish Rugby Club.
Oh, well, okay.
Who are now based at Brentford's new stadium, at Chiswick there, just by the Chiswick roundabout. Mm. Unfortunately, due to COVID, I haven't been able to, no one's been able to get into any of the grounds. But I've been with London Irish now for about 15 years or so. And, you know, I've never, you know, perhaps music gave me up. But I've never given music.
Sure, because Wikipedia sometimes can be rude. It just says years active, 1976, 1980, 2019 to the present. To be inactive for completely inactive for that.
This is Wikipedia's claiming you're in some kind of cryogenic pod.
Yeah, it's completely inaccurate. Did you get that off Wikipedia?
Yeah, we don't want to be listening to Wikipedia.
Don't believe a word.
No.
Do not believe a word about Wikipedia.
Paul, where can we buy the single? And are you guys obviously a good live? Yeah, you're a good live band, so you want to get back out playing soon, won't you? I would imagine.
Yeah, we would love to. From the website, thestarjets.com.
Brilliant.
That's thestarjets.com.
Lovely to talk to you, Paul. And
you too.
Thank you. Really like the song. So thanks for joining
us. You've made an old man very happy. Thank you.
Take care.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, as trailed for some reason about 1:15, Max said, oh, just after 3, I need some DIY advice, which is screw-based. And for some reason, people remain interested.
Yeah, well, Tom says, will the kettle boil in time for me to settle down, brew at exactly the correct temperature, tune back into Max's DIY screw-based question at 3? It's touch and go, but I'm sure that this is the high-octane, groundbreaking radio content I live for vicariously. Look, I'm not very good at DIY. I know Josh Bland from the Boingcast is waiting to talk about Big Sam, arguably more important. I've had for 10 years in my flat, the washing machine has been sort of inside a kind of cupboard in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still interested? And the door is kind of superfluous. I don't need to hide the washing machine away. I'm not embarrassed of the washing machine. The washing machine has been edging forward, much like a defensive wall over 10 years. But I pushed it back and I got a drill today to unscrew the hinge to take the cupboard off, the door off, so it can just be freestanding. But one of the screws, the sort of tread, the little bit doesn't.
You can't get into the thread.
I can't get into the thread.
The screwdriver won't go into
The drill won't go in. So I don't know what to do. I'm stuck with. The cupboard is now. The door is now hanging off.
Can't get a hacksaw blade in there. You can't.
I don't have a hacksaw, Paul.
I just don't need the blade.
No.
I mean,
but I want listeners' advice. They'll know. There must be a way of getting the drill to work with the screw.
Welcome to the Fix It phone.
Absolutely. They're not. You know, it's a bit like, look, Tuchel and Havertz will work because they know each other. One is the drill bit and one is the thread.
Try and bring
the
it
screw.
Back to sport, mate. You're still looking for free advice from tradespeople.
How do I get this one screw off? The door is on it's hanging off now. So it's the worst of both worlds.
Some old Western.
My wife's
saloon.
Gonna be back in the next 3 months. So I've got to get it sorted quick. 81089. Sorry, this is abusive power. 087 172 3344. How do I fix it?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Thanks for all your DIY advice for Max. We've never had such a reaction. Maybe we should do this. We won't though, don't worry.
Just 15 minutes a week.
The bottom line is, save that for the weekend. The bottom line is Dan and lots of other people have suggested a rubber band. It's Sam in Barnsley, rubber band in the bit, gives you a bit of traction.
I never considered a screwdriver.
Yeah, you've been using an electric drill with a screwdriver.
Freddie says it'll be interesting to see if Max is still with Paul after the break.
Yeah, well, I did ask the producer. Do you know when I went out and had a chat with the producer? But he just said to me, "There's nothing we can do. Just get through to 4, and we'll take it from there." Jerry Gary. He said, what you really need, Max, is a mini angle grinder.
You reckon I've
he
got
hasn't
one
even
of them.
Got a screwdriver, mate. He's not going to have a mini angle grinder.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. I thought you got some top tips there from the listeners.
Doug, I'm genuinely excited about going home and getting a rubber band and trying it. And then tomorrow, I can tell you what happens.
You can report back. Absolutely. So, yeah. So, obviously, don't forget, we'll make sure we put it in the podcast if you can't listen to the show, because I bet you can't wait. We'll see you tomorrow from 1 if you can make it. If not, podcast available at 5.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4pm on TalkSport.
Hey, folks. I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.